Alright. Theon Cross na Shumba Masai tasangana. Zakanyorwa. Tashika.
From newsounds.org, this is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. Today, we are not in our New York studio. I'm in Knoxville at the annual Big Ears Festival, a music festival that is devoted to all kinds of left-of-center music. You know, the stuff we like to hear on New Sounds. Also here in Knoxville is the tuba player and band leader Theon Cross. Theon has been on these soundcheck sessions before as part of the great London quartet Sons of Kemet, who are playing at this year's Big Ears Festival. But Theon Cross has also released a couple of solo albums that draw on a similar mix of jazz, Caribbean, hip-hop, and electronic sounds. His newest album is called Intra Eye, and for this soundcheck session, he and his own band are going to play some of those songs from that record. This first one is called We Go Again. That's a live performance of We Go Again by Theon Cross and his band, and Theon joining me here in Knoxville at the Big Ears Festival. And Theon, I have to ask, having seen you with Sons of Kemet, on this album there seems to be a lot of processing of the tuba sound, you know? And you don't really do that in Sons of Kemet, right?
No, I think Sons of Kemet is about like physicality and really showing the possibilities of the natural sound, whereas with Intra Eye, as well as making it feel natural, is all about its collaboration with electronics, where there's a much more of a heavy emphasis on like protruding the bass sound. So Intra Eye was more about pushing the sonic possibilities technologically as well.
Yeah. Well, that song, We Go Again, you know, at the beginning it's got like several cross rhythms at once, and even when it quote-unquote settles, that it's still full of like all these weird sort of cross-hatchings of meter and rhythm and stuff. So that seems to be kind of an ongoing concern on a lot of these songs too.
Yeah, I'm a real fan of messing with polyrhythms and with different beats going against each other. I almost feel that a drum pattern is almost what defines like a genre and a time period. So for me, being creative with the drum patterns I do almost makes it seem like it fits without time.
Yeah.
So for me, doing a beat pattern that is not predictable and like is something that the listener hasn't heard before almost means that you can't categorize it to a decade or a time period. And that's something I consciously think about.
I like that kind of unmoored quality, you know, which, you know, I seem to get from a lot of what's happening in London right now, where there's this incredible community, really, you know, tagged with the word jazz, but drawing so heavily on Afro-Caribbean music and electronic music and grime and all, you know, all these other things. Did you grow up with that, or is this something that, I mean, to me, as someone who comes to London pretty much every year, it seems like something that's just kind of like developed in the last decade, really.
I would say most of the musicians that are doing quite well out here in London often have roots in the Caribbean, like myself, who I'm Jamaican and St. Lucian heritage, or West African, like Nigeria or Ghana or Sierra Leone. And I feel like most of us had a lot of the music from those regions in our households, as well as having like jazz or R&B or pop or whatever was the main music at the time. So I feel like the common thread is that we all integrate those sounds that influenced us away from our studies into the way that we perform and improvise and create music. And I think collectively us doing that has almost created a unified sound of what represents London.
Huh. It's interesting you say that. One of the other artists here at Big Ears, Layla McCalla, is a Haitian-American cellist, you know, studied classical cello, and in her recent work has been kind of excavating the Haitian roots of her family, you know, her music mm. through her grandmother, which was very different from the classical music that she trained in. You have classical training. I remember when Sons of Kemet was in our studio, I think I mentioned the Vaughan Williams Tuba Concerto, and you said, oh yeah, I've played that.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time with that. And yeah, I think studying classical music gave me my grounding. I think it's using the study of I guess, quote unquote, proper technique to really enhance the way that I communicate through improvisation.
Right. Now, you mentioned, you know, your family is Jamaican, and, you know, that those rhythms, you know, they echo in some of the pieces. And the one that we're going to hear next, Forward Progression 2, this is one of those works, right?
Yeah. So my dad was actually a reggae musician, and he played in the 80s. He had a band called Nionisis. Unfortunately, they never released anything commercially. But he was always a lover of music, and unfortunately he passed away in the pandemic. So this tune is a dedication to him. And whilst I was like clearing up his things after he passed away, I found a lot of his old music, which I hadn't heard since I was a child. And I put in an old cassette, and there was a tune called Forward Progression. And the chorus of the song was Forward Progression, you got to know yourself first. And the whole point of this album, Intra-I, means going into self and learning about yourself to have a deeper understanding of yourself and to move throughout the world with like confidence. And I think having an understanding of yourself and who you are, where you come from, means you can propel forward the right way. So this is in honor of him. It's a forward progression, but forward progression too. Because yeah. I think it's a continuation of a concept that he was able to leave behind with me and his music.
All right, let's hear this live performance from Theon Cross leading his quartet. The song is called Forward Progression 2. Thank you. That's called Forward Progression 2, live performance from tuba player and composer Theon Cross with, we should mention the rest of the band, Chelsea Carmichael on sax, Nikos Sarkias playing the electric guitar, Patrick Boyle on drums. On the out, first of all, what the hell is that low rattling note at the end? How low does the tuba go? And can you do like subharmonic stuff or electronic things to get even lower?
Yeah, I think my lowest note is always changing. I think the more I develop on the instrument is the lower I can go. So I think it's really dependent on the player, on how low and how high you can go. But yeah, it's all to do with breath and being relaxed as well, and just letting the air flow through your diaphragm.
Right. There's a lot of piping you got to push that air through before the sound comes out.
Yeah, it's a big piece of metal, a lot of tubing, and you've got to fill it with warm air. So learning how to breathe deep from the diaphragm to really maximize and fill the air and have it vibrate in the right ways is all part of the trade.
You know, there's a band here in Knoxville playing at Big Ears this year, Aurora Nealand and her Royal Roses, and they're a Dixieland style band, but you know, it's like weird, like if, as if Charles Mingus had written Dixieland. But their tuba player has the tuba that wraps around and the horn comes out. Okay, so that's the difference. Mm-hmm. We call that a tuba as well, but it is a different instrument, isn't it?
It's the same instrument, but it was developed by John Philip Sousa, the great American marching composer, and he developed it so that it's easier for marching. So it's essentially a tuba, a B-flat tuba, which is bigger than the one I play, which is a E-flat.
Right, because you hold yours in front of you.
Exactly, yeah. But essentially, it's the same instrument, but developed specifically for marching.
I see, okay. So, forward progression two, as you mentioned before we heard it, you know, kind of a tribute to your dad. There's another piece on Intra I, which is a tribute to your dad, and it has a very different sound, almost like a prayer.
Yeah.
It's called Watching Over, Bless Up Dad. Is it basically what it sounds like?
Yeah, definitely. It's forward progression is about the celebration of life, but I felt like before that, it was important for me to express a track which is about mourning, almost like the dirge. Yeah. in a New Orleans context. Spiritually, I believe, although he's gone, he's still present and watching over and guiding me. So it's important for me to have a track that represented that sentiment, that although someone is gone, they are still with you. He's still my ancestor, and he's watching over and guiding me. And bless up is just a Jamaican phrase that is often used to say, like, to salute someone or to say hey. So it's like watching over, bless up dad, I see you, thank you, I appreciate you.
It's also not the only piece on the record that really centers the low kind of somber sounds of the tuba. There's a duet that you do called Universal Alignment with Orrin Marshall, your predecessor in Sons of Kemet. Do tuba players get a lot of opportunity to play together?
No, we don't. In a classical context or a jazz context, there's normally always one tuba player.
This town ain't big enough for the two
of us. Yeah, exactly. But Orrin Marshall was my... Before he was my predecessor, he was my teacher. Whilst I was studying at the Guildhall School of Music, he gave me lessons. And he's someone I've always looked up to and was a remarkable figure in the London jazz scene for many years, and I think watching him show me the possibilities of what can be done and with the instrument and how to master your breathing as well. So for me, it just felt right to finish off the album with him and to really duet and create a piece where it's like two titans clashing. And for me, it fits in with the concepts of the record as well, because it is about Intra-I within self, and within me is my teachers as well as my ancestors, and I feel like he is a ancestor of the tuba in the London jazz space. So it was almost important to finish off the album with my mentor as well.
It's not just Orrin Marshall. There are lots of other features on this record, and that makes it both different from the predecessor, Faya, and also kind of in line with what you've done with Sons of Kemet, which is, you know, the recent albums have become more feature heavy, bringing in some of the rappers and spoken word artists who, you know, are such a part of that scene in London as well. So that kind of parallel motion in both of your bands, your own group and Sons of Kemet, is the same kind of impetus driving both of those recent albums?
Yeah, I think both albums are concept albums, and both albums are about specific things. And Intra-I for me is about introspection and really going into yourself and finding strength within yourself, and I felt like that was better amplified by having people that could speak to that concept. So for The Spirals, Afronaut, Zoo and Anansi, who we really sat down and crafted the spiral is basically the winding journey into self, so they helped me craft the chant. The spiral is vital.
When will we build our towers? When will we tap that power? Live, love, resurrect, move up from the deep depths, unbury what never left. Spinning in these spirals, spinning in these spirals, crossing idle, I and I vital.
Play to win, consensus. Don't play, don't win.
Go player, go king. These days, man, I really know. But people too, like, they really know. No, not me, I don't really know. It was each one get involved.
If it's each one get involved, basically, once we have the knowledge of ourselves, it's up to us to teach the next one. Each one teach one, that concept, and many other smart things he's saying on that track. So for me, the use of the vocals was to get people that can enhance the sentiment I was trying to express with the tracks.
So you mentioned Play to Win. That's the song we're going to hear next. And as you had to do with Sons of Kemet, you now have to kind of reverse engineer these songs.
Exactly, yeah.
to play them instrumentally. So what are you left with at that point? Do you still feel the message?
No, definitely, definitely. I think he left a lasting energy on the track. I think consensus really went the extra mile with the lyrics and the rhythmic schemes, and so I feel like when we play the track now, we almost have his energy in our minds. So it's just about making the instrumental version as energetic as the recording.
Each one teach one, as consensus says on the track. All right, let's hear this instrumental version, Play to Win, from my guest Theon Cross.
Thank you.
That's called Play to Win, music from Theon Cross and his quartet. Features Consensus on the record, Intra Eye, now an instrumental piece. What is that, a 5/4 rhythm that that song is in?
No, it's actually just in four.
Really?
Yeah, it's a 4/4 time beat, but like I said, it's the displacements. I love playing with displacements so that things sound more complicated than they actually are. And I feel like with that track, I'm taking a direct influence from Grime, and I love Grime for that reason, because it's so creative with the drums and the bass.
Right.
And I think it forces an MC to really develop their rhythmic cadence out of what is normally used on a standard boom bap or a standard like typical hip hop groove.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things about Grime is there's also a lot of kind of space in the production, you know, unlike boom bap, you know, classic hip hop with like layers of orchestral sounding samples and stuff. The texture is different. And, you know, one of the things that I hear on this record is especially in the way you treat some of the instrumental and sometimes even the vocal sounds. I think Remy Graves gets sort of harmonized, and, you know, you're doing clearly some of that with the tuba as well. So the way you use technology seems to kind of come out of that scene.
Yeah, I think I like to make a studio album. So I think I think about how I'm going to deal with it live later. But I feel like when we're making a record, it's about exploiting all the technological advances that we have. So if that means adding a delay here or augmenting the vocals here, or I don't know, even like pitching the tuba up or down the octave, I feel like to make the best record, we should express that and go into the different possibilities of what can be done with production.
Well, the resulting album, Intra Eye, is a terrific piece of work. And these are such wonderful performances. Theon, thank you to you and the band. It's really been a lot of fun.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having us.
Watch the videos of Theon Cross and his band. They're on the New Sounds YouTube channel or right here on the website, newsounds.org. Our usual crew was back at work for this soundcheck session. Our technical director, Irene Trudell, producer Karen Havlick, and video editor, David McLean. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.